Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
The Cubby House is a show about two cub-identifying guys exploring the big and hairy issues in and around the bear community.
This program is designed for a mature audience. It may contain adult themes, sex and drug references, and of course, coarse language. Listener discretion is advised.
And welcome to the Cubby House for the 13th of February. I'm Cookie.
I'm Kevin, and we've had to do a very quick swap on the studios.
Yes,
so,
I'd like to thank you, Smarts, particularly for that last show and for the quick crossover. Much appreciated, guys. And tonight on the show, we have our guest, a primary school teacher by the name of Matthew Hill, in with us tonight. And Kevin, you're waving. Oh. I've got your script, of
course. You've got my script, Cookie. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'll just make it up on the fly.
You do anyway.
Well, I'll leave that alone. Yes, we do. We have guest host, primary school teacher Matt Hill, who we've had to rope and corral and get in here. He's now strapped to the chair.
We'd like to thank him on last minute things. We also discuss, seeing as we've got a professional teacher in, teaching with flair. So, teaching the... being a homosexual within schools, I understand it's a bit of controversy, so I'll be discussing that a bit later.
Well, in bear news, we also cover San Francisco police and they're chipping in on the It Gets Better project.
In the King Corner with Cookie, we see the colour fuchsia and the plaid cloth meeting exposed.
We also then cover the Health Kick Initiative FebFest.
And Valentine's Day around the corner, I have my own bullet for a Valentine to unload.
We do have a discussion topic for tonight's show.
We do.
Do we know what it is?
I don't. You.
Since it's Valentine's Day tomorrow, we would like to know, what is the best or worst Valentine's Day gift you've received? Ever.
Ever?
Ever.
Ever.
Let's go ever.
Okay, then.
Want to have your say on the Cubby House project? Contact us through Facebook at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. The Cubby House Project on Joy 94.9.
Now, I'd like to introduce this evening to the room our wonderful teacher who's walked in. So, good evening, Mr. Hill.
Good evening, class. How are we all?
Very well, thank you.
Excellent.
This summer, I ate baked beans.
Excellent. Well said. Well done, young man.
In fact, I ate them earlier today, so you might be suffering later tonight.
Oh, dear.
Wonderful. Now, I believe you teach primary school kids, correct?
I do. That is correct.
And you can be found roaming around the laird after hours so often?
Sometimes that happens, yes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes in very little.
That's happened.
Well, that's a surprise. Come along and you'll find out yourself.
Yes. So, we thought we'd give you some rapid-fire questions for other people who may not have seen or heard of you.
Bring them on.
All right. You might even survive a few of these.
Yes. Quick game's a good game, sir. So, shall we start with your age?
35.
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Never mind. Name the thing you miss most about being a kid.
I don't know that I miss that much about being a kid because I get to be one every day at school.
Oh, there we go. Do you have any hidden talents?
I do enjoy playing the guitar and singing, but I don't tend to do it in front of people, so that's pretty well hidden.
Fair enough. Yes. What body part do you get caught staring at?
Probably butts more often than not, but or the top of people's legs. That always gets me. Top of a guy's leg is
that's generally what gets most people. But
yes.
Let's move on.
So what's the last thing you bought?
The last thing I bought, probably dog food or human food.
Don't get those mixed up.
No. I'm not a grandma. It's okay.
Ouch. That's not real. It's just a myth. Anyway, do you have any current obsessions?
Many.
Well, name one of them.
All right. Well, I've been watching a lot of Dirty Jobs lately on TV, on Foxtel.
We don't want you to bring your porn into the show, you know?
Well, it's kind of going to happen.
Great. Mm-hmm.
So, do you have any phobias?
Spiders.
Yeah. I hear you on that one. Sexually, what melts your butter?
Good kiss. Jock straps.
All right, only one thing.
I'll keep going if you like.
Noted. You wake up in a prison cell. What's most likely the crime you've committed?
Unpaid speeding fines.
Really? You speed a lot?
No, I just don't seem to get them in the mail.
A likely excuse.
It works well.
Right. All right, you're about to be sent to a desert island. You can take up to 5 of your possessions. What would they be?
Couldn't live without my iPad, so that one is going. I would need to have a solar charger, so it's going to work out there. I don't know. What else would I take? Phone? To call for help, maybe?
Your boyfriend, maybe?
He can come too.
He's currently been regulated. Sent to the corner in the studio.
You're sitting with the dunce hat on, facing the corner.
Clearly, you're very into discipline, aren't you?
A little bit.
You like this. All right, okay, so you've only named 3 things. What else?
Food. You can't survive without food. What else? I don't know. I can't think of anything else that I would take, particularly.
You fish, you know, be a rugged, manly man and hunt and gather.
Depends how big this desert island is.
Well, we're not talking, you know, like a meter square.
Oh, okay. No, you've got me. I don't know. A lighter, because I would be awful at lighting a fire.
There we go.
There you go.
Some logical answers. Clearly, you can see you're in the education.
And finally, have you answered any of these questions with a lie?
I don't know.
Really? Memory of a goldfish. All right. Clearly. So, how did you get involved in the bear community?
Actually, I would say it was probably over the internet. When I was living in small country town in WA, Twitter and live journal and not even Facebook back then, but those sorts of things, social networking, were the only things that kept me connected in any way, shape or form to the gay community, let alone the bear community.
You're a country bear.
I was, for sure. And then...
That was brilliant.
Thank you.
Clearly, you can see you got a bit of authenticity in that accent.
I've had a lot of practice.
Yes. But then you ventured out into the big wide world web and found the bears?
I did, yes. Actually, probably the first time would be I somehow discovered in some unnamed store a bear magazine. And that would be the first thing that pointed me in that direction. And then when I was living in Sydney at the time, kind of went, oh, yeah, that is kind of hot. And then went back into my shell for an awfully long time. And then not that long ago, decided that I might actually come out and try and explore some things about that. So.
We dragged you out by your short and curlies, did we?
Absolutely.
Excellent, excellent. I love to hear that. Mm-hmm. So do you think it's changed much since you've first heard about it?
No, I haven't been in it that long enough to see that much change. But it's changed me, but I don't think I've seen any change in the bear community.
How's it changed you?
Just in the fact that I'm more confident about who I am. I know I understand who I am. And it's just the acceptance of exactly who you are, even as you figure it out as you go along. The acceptance of figuring out yourself from your community is something that changes you from within. So.
Oh, we like to hear that. Definitely like to hear that. Hmm. And as a last question, describe the first time you went to a gay bar.
Surprisingly, the first time I went to a gay bar, I actually had a car accident right before it. So I think that might tell you the mind frame I was in, how nervous I was. I drove into a parked car. So I was a little bit nervous the very first time I went.
What's a great way to introduce yourself to the community. Sorry, I banged someone's car.
I'm not sure who it was.
But I'd love to take you home and repay you.
There you go. Perfect pickup line.
Probably not really popular, but we can pass that on to our beloved Jack, since he tends to collect them, and see what he thinks.
Yes. But we'll catch up with you in the next segment, which is Talking Teaching with Flair, here on the Cubby House on Joy 94.9. we have with us tonight a primary school teacher, and I do believe teaching is one of the professions that's been given a bit of flack over the years for gay individuals who, you know, teach kids, and the stereotypes that may or may not be true coming to teachers. And we thought we'd question our wonderful Mr. Hill about what it's actually like to be a gay teacher in a primary school.
What made you decide to actually go into the teaching profession in the first place?
Teaching was one of the only things I ever wanted to do. There was only about three things that I actually wanted to do with my life.
Was one of them being an astronaut?
No. Or a fire engine. I never wanted to do that either.
You never wanted to be a fire engine?
My cousin always wanted to be a fire engine.
Being rid by, you know, 10 or 12 firemen. Are you sure you never wanted to be a fireman?
Okay. Next topic. Let's move on.
All right, so you're a teacher.
I am. This is true.
Do you enjoy being a teacher?
I love it. It's in the 10 weeks that I'm at school, it's pretty much all I think about in each of the terms. I don't give myself time enough to do anything else. I tend to focus on school probably too much, but that's who I am. I think it forms the major part of my life. So.
And going into teaching, were you worried about the fact that you were gay as well?
I don't know that I had fully accepted that I was gay when I started to become a teacher. I didn't really, like I said before, I didn't really come out till I was in my 30s, to be honest. And I hadn't really accepted it myself. And I started university when I was like 20, 21. So it was a fair chunk of time ago. Actually, no, 19. Sorry, take it all back.
Wow.
Yeah, so I hadn't really understood it myself and understood who I was. So that never really played into anything early in my teaching career.
Fair enough. I'd be curious to know, when you're actually at the playground, I'm assuming you do rounds around the schoolyard.
Yes.
Kid calls another kid gay and starts really laying into him. What would something you'd normally do?
I treat it the same as any other form of teasing, basically. It's just, you say that's not a word that you call somebody because that's not true. One of the things, if it's really hurt a kid, sometimes I try to use comedy to diffuse the situation, and I'll say, well, are you a horse? If he called you a horse, would you cry? Something along those lines, and the kids either get confused or laugh, one of the two, and they look at me with cross eyes and like, what? But other than that, I don't treat it differently to any other word. I don't treat it differently to any other bullying in any way, shape or form. That's just teasing, and you talk to the kids and say that you don't say things like that to other people. So that's just the way that I talk to kids.
Are there any government regulations as far as being gay and a teacher for how you deal with bullying or teaching in your classes?
None that I'm aware of, no. I don't think there's anything that's that specific. Maybe it's something that I need to do some more research into, but there's nothing that I'm aware of.
That limits your interaction with kids, for instance, no. Bullying on a homosexual, homophobic platform.
Not that I'm aware. I mean, the only thing that comes into any form, any relevance there is that the male teacher putting hands on any student in any way, shape or form. So you can't pat them on the shoulder, you can't pat them on the back. I'm not even supposed to pick them up if they've fallen down and hurt themselves. So there's those ones, whereas it's opposite for women. They are allowed to... Yeah, it's true.
What?
Yeah. The lady teachers, female teachers are...
Lady teachers.
Female teachers are actually allowed to hug children, pick them up, grab them by the hand, walk them along. But a male teacher doing that is a no-no. You don't do it.
So what happens with transgender teachers?
That I couldn't tell you.
I'd be interested to find that out. If anyone knows, please feel free to contact us.
Yes, that'll be through 0427JOY949 if you'd like to SMS in. Now, obviously we're talking about bullying. One of the common things that come up is gay uses derogatory terms such as, oh, that's so gay. Now,
That's so gay. Yeah, oh, my God.
How would you address that as a teacher to a student?
I think you could tell by what I just did. I don't tend to take it that seriously or treat it any different to anything else. I think that kids need to build up resilience, and a job as a teacher is to make sure that a kid is resilient to all forms of bullying or teasing or whatever you want to call it. They need to understand that words can hurt, but you have to let them bounce off. You have to grow stronger from what someone says to you. So I take that as my job to try and make sure that if a kid is teased or gets put down or hears a bad word, which they would hear at home anyway in many cases, but if they hear that word directed at them, that they have to just learn to accept it and and move on. They have to grow.
I mean, obviously, it depends on the situation as well. And even if they weren't using that word, but any other word, if they were constantly getting that thrown at them, you would then take it to the next level.
Yes, absolutely. That it's in the playground, you might not see that so much, but in my own classroom, you get to see that a lot more. So.
And what is your standpoint on totes?
Considering we're trying to be grammatically correct here, and I believe we're getting marked for our spelling mistakes on the script tonight.
You are. There's already a few crosses on the script tonight, but I have to say that my least favorite in the world, word in the world, is that one, and I very rarely say it, so I can't even say the word for you. But the T word that you just talked about, I
totes.
Don't like it at all.
We're getting together. You're not the only one. We're getting together and forming the Anti-Totes Foundation. And we're just going to shoot people that say totes.
You'd be surprised. There's not many children that actually use that word. Kids don't say it. It tends to be homosexual male adults that use it more than anything else.
Which is surprising because every time it drops out of someone's mouth, I'm like, I'm sorry, when did you turn into a 12-year-old girl?
Well, none of the 12-year-old girls in my class, I haven't heard them say it in the week and a half we've been back at school. So.
You should be ashamed of yourself if you use that word. You're worse than a 12-year-old girl with pigtails.
Finally, though, on a more obvious note, positive role model, or gay role model, positive gay role models for kids that you teach, obviously up to the age of 13, who would you kind of point out?
Interesting question. I don't. I think that it needs to be positive male role models or positive female role models. Right. I don't think that we necessarily need to be limiting gay, straight, bi, whatever it is at this point in their life. We don't need to limit them any more than they are at home or by any other person's opinions or agendas. I don't think that I should be there doing that. Even as a gay man, I'm not the one there to limit their role model. I think that they need to pick their own role model. And it's certainly not something that I see myself doing as a gay man, trying to be someone's... I'm trying to be a male role model at school more than anything else. So, I'm not really sure about positive gay role models, so I couldn't really answer that question for you. But like I said, I think male and female role models are more important for the students of today.
Well, it's important to remember that you're teaching primary school, so the age group is from
5 to 13.
Yep, so it's not highly sexually charged.
Not just yet.
Not just yet.
No. Well, Mr. Hill, thank you very much for this parent-teacher interview. From around the den to around the globe, this is the Bear News.
Now on Friday, in solidarity with the Bay Area LGBT youth, the San Francisco Police Department released a It Gets Better video, featuring more than a dozen LGBT sergeants, commanders, dispatchers, and police officers. Now for everyone living under a rock and that doesn't know what the It Gets Better project is, it's a viral stream of homemade YouTube videos originally started by one of my personal heroes, Dan Savage, and his partner, Terry Miller. Now, it was done in a response to a number of students taking their own lives after being bullied in schools. Since 2010, It Gets Better Project has aimed to prevent suicide by helping LGBT youth facing harassment see beyond the difficult teenage years. Since its creation, thousands of videos have been released from influential names like Jake Shears, Chris Colfer, Stephen Colbert, another hero, Barack Obama, and Elizabeth Warren. And now we can add the San Francisco Police Department to the list.
Hang on. Barack Obama's bats for both sides?
No, but he did an It Gets Better project. It's not only done by the...
Thank you. I just thought I'd want to clarify that. By the reading of this article, one could infer, and I just wanted to clarify, that it is not just LGBT-specific people making these videos.
No.
Right. Thank you.
We love you, Cookie.
Carry on.
Now, if you actually haven't had a look at the video yourself, you can go and have a look on the It Gets Better website, which is itgetsbetter.org. Or you can actually have a look at the Huffington Post article that was written on it, which is fantastic. And for those living in Australia, I just wanted to once again go through the resources that were available should you be in a situation where you do need assistance or just someone to listen to you. And the main two we like to go through are the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard, which is in Melbourne. The website is switchboard.org.au. Their phone number is 03-9663-2939. Now, please note that the switchboard is only open Monday to Thursday from 6 to 10pm, on Wednesday from 2 till 10pm, and Friday, Saturday and Sunday from 6 to 9pm. The other one is ReachOut, which is au.reachout.com. That was au.reachout.com. And ReachOut is actually a very good website for any resources you may have. We covered it in the last post, so I won't go through it again, but have a look on the website. There are some decent resources, not only for LGBT youth, but also their families.
Mm-hmm. And for anybody who wants to know about our last post, they can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecubbyhouse, to get links to all our feedback, podcast feeds.
Excellent.
Thank you.
And that was Bear News for this week.
Thank you. You're on the Cubby House. Joy 94.9. Be careful what you're wearing. You never know what you're asking for here on the Kink Corner. That's right. I had a little bit of a keyboard malfunction there for a sec. Sorry. Yes, I'm sure. On this section, that we do like to explore sexual points of interest. We're going through the Kink Corner hanky code, which we're starting tonight with fuchsia. Fuchsia, for those who in the know, is spanking, which is commonly referred to as any striking of the butt with an object from hand to paddle, cane, or other similarly dense material. Flagellation, however, I'd like to point out, is the methodical act of beating or whipping, usually with the use of cat-o'-nine-tails or rods. Now, usually referred to when used on an unwilling person as punishment. Yes, Kevin?
I'm sorry, at this point I have to interject a question to our teacher. Do they still do spanking in schools?
No. No, no, not even since I was in primary school. I think...
well, I'm coming from South Africa, so...
Early 1980s, they got rid of any form of capital punishment.
Well, they definitely won't be flagging fuchsia.
Yes, no, no. Now, if you'd like to have some more ideas as to methods or positions you could be spanked in, if you haven't already had some of these, over the knee, which is one of the most commonly done and probably the safest positions, over the lap, lying down, bent over, under the spanker's arm. I would like to know who can be picked up to be, basically picked up and spanked.
I know of a few people.
Like, yeah, there's a certain cub in Sydney by the name of Timmy who we could probably do that to.
Through the legs of the spanker, kneeling over a bed, stooped over with the hands on the floor below, over the spanker's shoulder, diaper position.
When you're changing a baby's nappy.
Well, yeah, I'm assuming
that just means on the back with the legs up.
Yeah, yeah, like, so. Yeah, okay. Like in a sling.
I wouldn't really refer to that as diaper position.
Or the final one is tied to a tree or pole that is a safe area outside. I'm like, but what's safe area for outside?
Well, I'm assuming, you know, certain public displays. You don't just do it on the side of the road.
Yes, I hope so. Now, this other one was tonight picked out by our guest, Matt. Plaid pattern. Now, for those who don't know what a plaid pattern is, think tartan or the like. And that is a fetish for redheads. Yes, redheads.
Yeehaw.
Sorry, Jack. We had to let you go before we got onto this one. Now, if you wear it on the left, it's you are a redhead, which I wonder why you would even bother, because it should be so damn obvious. And right is seeking redheads, otherwise known as redophile. Yes, I hear a few of you laughing at that notion. Now, be it that they want to play with 1% to 2% of the world's population cursed with the Ranger affliction, namely because they have no soul and are ultra-sensitive to the UV light, or the abnormal differences to pain threshold, and that's right, studies have been conducted, according to Wikipedia, and have been footnoted, to people who have red hair have a sensitivity to pain, different sensitivities to pain. One study found that people with red hair are more sensitive to thermal pain, and another one concluded that redheads are less sensitive to pain from multiple modalities, such as electrically induced pain. Anybody know of an electroplay cub, redhead cub, that wants to say hello? By all means, let me know.
Or, this isn't a dating site for you, Cookie.
I know, but it's just fun to point out. Or you could be one of those rotophobes, such as this man here, Kevin, who enjoys getting off with the tirade of names you could go through for these poor recessive gene people. From Matchstick to Carrot Top, the labels have been far and varied, And for more laughs and names to call these people, please visit YouTube with Tim Michigan in mind with the song titled Prejudice.
I don't see any of my Facebook statuses or any of the previous podcasts that we've done, really.
Yeah, let's just try and make yourself a well-known target. So that is Kink Corner for this week. You are on the Cubby House, Joy 94.9. I believe you also got another wonderful find sent to you this week.
I have. Now, it's a little bit late, seeing as it's already the 13th and we're halfway through the month, but one of the charities that we wanted to highlight this month is called FebFast, which is a pause for the better. Now, in January 2007, FebFast founder Fiona Healy, try and say that 10 times fast, came up with the idea of taking a month off from the grog for charity. They managed to raise about $910 that first year, and it was all donated to the Youth Support and Advocacy Service. The following 4 years saw the concept grow out into the major community at large, and almost 20,000 Australians take up the challenge to have a month off the grog. Collectively, they've raised nearly $3 million, which was allocated to more than 30 programs across Australia, which focused on helping young people take control of their lives and overcome alcohol and other drug problems. Now, it's important to note that it's not about telling people how to live their lives or criticizing people for drinking. It's about making your own decisions about alcohol and its use, and raising money for the youth that need it. Now, I'm going to try and pronounce his name because I love Carlos, but I'm really bad at saying his name. Carlos Sepulveda recently shared some fantastic alternative juice recipes for restoring some internal balance, and with his permission, I'd like to share them with you. Now, keep in mind, you can go all high-tech with the latest fruit juices if you really want to, or just take an old-fashioned approach with a blender. The first one is the fruity liver. It would be the sweetest option and probably the one to go with if, like me, you are not a good friend of the green stuff. So, the recipe is 2 apples, 1 bunch of grapes, 1/2 beet, 1/2 grapefruit, and 1/4 lemon. Mm-hmm. Not quite what I'd like, but I can understand how it could be a bit sweet. I'd probably drizzle some honey in there or anything like that. The next one is called the liver cleansing. It's a classic one, and as with many of these options, it's best to take at breakfast time. 1 carrot, 1/2 beet, 1 celery stick, and 1 cucumber. By carrot, I do not mean redhead. You are not allowed to blend redheads, apparently.
Yes. But are you going to buy all these things for breakfast before I get up?
Who's going to? When am I ever home to be able to do it? Anyway, the last one is the liver and digestion helper. Now, it's 2 pears or 2 carrots, 1/2 small cabbage, 2 celery sticks, and a handful of watercress. Now, at the small cabbage, people are already going, just imagine the chunkiness of it. But, I reckon give it a go before you knock it.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a go. Now, you can find out more information about FebFast at febfast.org.au, and you can also register for yourself and get involved. Now, I'd also like to put the challenge to people wanting to go a month off the grog. Don't wait for a month if you've already missed it, because obviously we're halfway through the month already. Pick any month. Raise some money, the money that you would normally spend to grog, and just donate to a charity which deals with these organisations. So,
or like me, put it towards paying to go for away for a holiday. Actually, put it savings rather than...
And then spend more grog while you're there. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. And of course, you can always find more articles from Carlos at starobserver.com.au.
Thank you very much, Kevin and Carlos, for sending us through that one. Cubby House on Joy 94.9. Please tell me you are still with us after that awful track of 3.5 minutes.
If your ears are bleeding, blame Madonna.
I blame you for picking that song. You pick the music and you say you have taste. We've just proven you do not.
Oh, no. I picked it specifically because it's so bad. So bad.
Share the terror.
That's right. Next time you complain about my music talent, just remember I could play something like that every single track.
Yes, well, I could play something from A Bullet for My Valentine, which is actually a band, but I thought I'd just use it because of the actual origin of Valentine.
Origin?
Origin. Yes, origin. Totally. I said totally, you. Damn you. Don't you go stabbing me like that. February 14th, we all know it as the wonderful Valentine's Day. Well, let's say that when it first began, it was more of a Christian martyr that brought the thing together, named Saint Valentine. Valentine of Rome was a priest in Rome who was martyred about 269 AD and was buried on the Via
Flaminia?
Yes, which I looked up is a road. around Idlib near Rome. Now, another Valentine of Terni, became bishop of Interminia about 197 AD, and he is said to have been martyred during the persecution of the Emperor Aurelian. Now, the first recorded association of Valentine's Day with romantic love wasn't until 1382 in Parliament of Fowls by George Schaefer.
So, excuse me? Geoffrey Chaucer?
Not even close. Fail. You've got an F.
Sir, can I go get my glasses, please?
Write that out 50 times.
That was off. I could get you stumbling through everything else, but not that. Continue.
So, might I point out, for the day that's been mitigated over the years to be romantically inclined despite its religious beginnings, I'd like to know what should be the most important elements of Valentine's Day. Not so much the gift, but the elements. What's the most important thing to us here in the studio?
Some baby in a diaper that's been given arrows that runs around shooting people. Can we reenact that?
Who's going to be the baby in diapers?
I was going to ask, well, what are you offering?
I'm happy to be an ape baby in diapers if I get to shoot people with arrows.
To get you some wings.
I'm very good with arrows, actually.
Uh-huh. I hear you're very good with Nerf guns as well.
Oh, I'm excellent. So, Cookie, what do you think is the most important element of Valentine's Day?
The connection between the person who you're trying to be a Valentine with. Obviously, if it's a loved one, then why are you waiting for Valentine's Day to do it? It should be like Kids' Day, every day. You should be showing this sort of thing.
And you, Matt?
Why can't Valentine's Day be that one special day? If you're supposed to show your love every single time, why can't it be one highlighted day like Mother's Day or Father's Day? You should always respect your mother and father. Or World Teacher's Day in October. You should always respect your teacher. Why can't you have one day that you highlight that all the love and respect that you have for your partner, even though you should show it every single day?
Well, all right, well, what about new love? What do you think about Valentine's Day being a sign of new love? No? No, we're not going there.
No, we're going to leave that one alone.
Oh, fine.
Now, we have been asking on the Facebook and via the Twitter sphere and emails, the discussion topic, which is, what is the best or worst Valentine's Day gift you've ever received?
Our wonderful Timmy says a red rose.
Oh, the romantic, but so cliched.
Yes.
Kieran in Queensland says, never had one or given, sorry, but given one. Just recently gave a wonderful cubby a lovely leather and silver wristband. Worth the cost to see the look on his beautiful face.
Our wonderful Dr. George made a point of he broke up on Valentine's Day once. Amen to that. So did I. and he didn't even say happy birthday 3 days earlier. So wasn't any love lost there.
Yeah, see, that's breakup material for me. Someone forgetting my birthday. Although I'm really awful at forgetting other people's birthday. I at least remember my boyfriend's birthday.
Yes.
Drew says, why wait for Valentine's Day to show someone you care? I totally agree with you, Drew. Summed it up perfectly for me.
And apparently we have someone who'll tell us tomorrow.
Yeah, good thing we don't actually celebrate Valentine's Day. I don't get him, my boyfriend anything for Valentine's Day. I get him just because presents throughout the year.
Oh.
Yeah, with that kind of sickly sweet. Yeah. And the last one is from our dear Preston, says, never done anything for Valentine's... Oh, sorry. Never done anything Valentine's Day related yet. Indeed, one year we got really frustrated trying to make a restaurant booking on a Tuesday night and struggled to get in anywhere, only to realize an hour into dinner that we were surrounded by couples and, oh, it was that day.
There you go. Thank you very much to all the people who have SMS'd, Facebooked and texted in their messages. We very much appreciate to know that you are listening or at least replying to a question. Keep them coming in throughout the week at facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. You're with the Cubby House, the other sex show on Joy 94.9. And for our last question to our wonderful guest who's been with us the whole hour, Mr. Matt Hill, what's your one most important piece of sex advice to give to our listeners and students of tonight?
Understand yourself. Know who you are before you go and try different things, new things, something different. Understand what your limitations are, what you want from you and what you want from experiences. So love yourself before you love anyone else.
Oh, well, that's kind of nice.
I do what I can.
Listen up, the rest of you guest hosts. We want that kind of responses. Thank you.
Now, we wouldn't be our bear show without giving you the latest... events and news coming out of the community. So The current ones, which you should keep your eye out for, are Bare Essentials in Sydney, running from Feb 11 to March 14th.
So that's currently running at the moment. They've stretched it over quite a couple of weeks.
Yes. Something that's just started this week is Bare New Zealand in Auckland, running from now till the 19th of February.
Yes, nearly impossible to run a bear event during this period because bears are just flying around all over the place. No one's available.
Right, and if you, I would like to go to the Sydney Mardi Gras. I didn't even look up the date, but it's apparently coming up the next couple of weekends.
I can't Google right now. We've only got like 2 seconds left.
Yes, yes, unfortunately. So at which point we then have to tell you that if you'd like to get hold of us throughout the week, we are on the web, thecubbyhouse.net.au.
We are available via email as well, which is contact@thecubbyhouse.net.au. And please feel free to send your feedback through to us. We'd love to hear from you.
Definitely. And if you'd like to join us and like us on Facebook, it is facebook.com/thecubbyhouse. Thank you very much for listening.
It's always good to jump on the Facebook and join in on the discussion. Quite a few people have sent their feedback in, even young Timmy from Sydney.
Yes.
If only we could stop him. Anyway, Matt, you've survived a show with us.
Hooray, I made it all the way through.
Now you can go home and go to your beddy bars.
It's way past bedtime.
Yeah.
It's school night.
Even for a teacher, what time would you normally go to bed?
Midnight.
You've still got an hour.
I've got to get home. It's a long way.
Yeah, well, you're in a country bear.
It's somewhere out there in the sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in the big smoke.
It's a long way in. Took me a long time to catch the train in.
Oh. Well, thank you very, very much for joining us, and I'm sure
thank you for having me.
We have a photographer, I also believe, lined up for our next week's show.
We do? Ooh. Spill? Yes.
Spill. I don't know. You lined him up.
Did I?
Yes. I don't know. You might have to listen in next week.
I have to go look at my notes. Whoops.
Here in the Cubby House, we are on Mondays from 11 o'clock. Thank you for listening, and we have Tracy with Fluoro coming up right after this.
Detention.
A week's detention for you for being such a smarty.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.